This is 7-5 Radio with Walter Yerkew and Peter Scoop Stanton. This is the radio show that will break your neck if your neck needs breaking. And here are the hosts of 7-5 Radio, Walter Yerkew, star of the biggest documentary movie ever made, The 7-5, and Peter Scoop Stanton, who starred in To Catch a Predator.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, one and all. This is Peter Scoop Stanton with Walter Yerkew. This is 7-5 Radio. We are live. It is Saturday, February the 20th, 2021. It is approximately 9 minutes after the hour for wherever you live. Once again, we are live tonight. The number here is 866-986-NEWS or 866-986-6397. And phone lines are open. And back from his wonderful romantic Valentine's Day trip is one Walter Yerkew. How are we doing, sir?
Oh man, I'm doing okay, man. It's been 3 weeks since I've been on, and I'm just busting at the seams and all kinds of stuff.
Outstanding. Well, you come to the right place. Anyways, first order of business we always want to remember is the members of the law enforcement community that were murdered in the line of duty. And once again, we have no names to read off. However, we still have members dying in car crashes. So once again, those out in the field, please look before you leap. Look both ways. Stay safe. Wear reflective clothing. And for God's sakes, wear your seatbelt. Anyways, next order of business. Well, unless you just got back from Mars, Rush Limbaugh has passed away. Now, Rush Limbaugh is an icon. This whole talk radio industry, this conservative talk radio industry, was started with Bob Grant and then it just flourished with Rush Limbaugh. Now, Limbaugh paid tribute to Bob Grant in his first book, The Way Things Ought to Be, saying that Bob Grant is the king of New York talk radio, which you can't argue with that. Anyways, without Rush Limbaugh, there wouldn't be probably Libby News Radio. Wouldn't be the million other people here on conservative talk radio. But Rush Limbaugh didn't. Yes, he was conservative. Yes, he put ideas in our head and shifted the way people thought, especially about the media. But anyways, when he was announced he had lung cancer and it was terminal and he only has but so much time left on this earth, one of his last broadcasts, he had to compare James Edwards with one Bull Connor. Now, the skit was, or the bit was, all these Democrats always associate themselves with Martin Luther King and Rosa Parks and these other JFK, but also they have to associate themselves with the likes of John Lewis, likes of what's the name with the James Bond lookalike in California, Maxine Waters, and also Bull Connor and James Edwards. And I was really flabbergasted because James Edwards is the furthest thing from a Democrat. I don't know if he's even registered to a political party like most of us. And so there's absolutely no reason why Limbaugh had us associate Bull Connor with our brother-in-arms, James Edwards. So anyways, instead of this big, great, big tribute to Rush Limbaugh, I say you need to go foxtrot yourself, Rush, because it's not needed. On the website, which is 75radio.org, you go right to 75radio.org, no more WordPress.com. We posted a clip of one James Edwards on CNN. But anyways, when I found out Rush Limbaugh has died, I was listening to Andrew Wilcox because I no longer listen to Rush because he became the more a conservative version of Meet the Press. So anyways, Andrew Wilcox was talking about how Rush Limbaugh was the king of the nudity conservative talk radio era. And then he made it about himself. Like, well, you know, if Rush is a competition, so I need to be the best I can be. I never got to meet Rush. Rush was brought syndicated on WGY in Schenectady. I was on WGY in Schenectady, New York. But he made it about himself, but that's what he does. Everything has to be about himself, not about Rush Limbaugh. So, anyways, but that's, I mean, what can you expect from Will Cow? It's always about himself, and so on and so forth. But anyways, well, any thoughts on Rush Limbaugh?
No, but I watched him and listened to him, you know, occasionally, you know, throughout, you know, the last 25 years or so. My dad was a big fan of Rush Limbaugh, and you know, the guy didn't speak lies. You know, he spoke his mind, and I think what he covered well. And, you know, beyond that, him being decorated as with the Medal of Honor about a year ago, right, before this COVID nonsense started.
Right, President's Medal of Freedom.
Right, and, you know, ever since then, you know, of course, we've been under the COVID nonsense for the last 12 months. But, you know, there's been some pretty disparaging remarks I've seen on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and stuff, just pretty much based on that fact. You know, had he not received that medal, you know, a year ago, it would have been, you know, RIP period, you know. But it's just the way the world is these days. And, you know, if Trump likes somebody, you know, automatically the left doesn't, you know. So it's a shame that his memory has been disparaged, even though he was a true journalist for about 30 years, if not longer.
Right, and think about it. He had the same time slot for over 30 years. I mean, he had more than one career, because a lot of these people are just come and go. But one thing, you know, once Rush became big, he no longer was as edgy as he used to be. He wanted to be part of the so-called in crowd in Washington, D.C. He wanted to be, he's friendly towards the Bushes and so on and so forth. He always bragged about, oh, I took EIB-1, which is a private jet, to, say, Pebble Beach and golf with all these A-list celebrities. I mean, mm-hmm. Rush Limbaugh forgot where he came from. You know, when he first started in radio, I mean, he had to quit his first time on radio and become a part of the ticket sales team for the Kansas City Royals, which he failed at. And finally, he went back on radio out in California. And then Roger Ailes picked him up for syndication, which was good on him. But again, he forgot where he came from. He became part of like the GOP establishment. In fact, he admitted he had to campaign and carry water for the Republican Party. But anyways, he's gone. We'll see who comes in next. There'll probably be another Sean Hannity or something like that. It definitely won't be anybody on this network, but it should be. But anyways, when we come back, Ted Cruz took a trip. Walter and I will debate if he should have taken the trip or stayed home. This is 75 Radio on Liberty News Radio Network. Take it away, boys.
Is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
You're back, and Scoop is just getting back from posting insults on Twitter. This is still 7-5 Radio.
And we are back, and I'm still suspended on Twitter. But anyways, I'll be working on that later this week. Also this week, Texas is going through absolutely a weather phenomenon. They had freezing temperatures, snow. They massive loss of power. It's a mess down there. And one of the senators, Ted Cruz, was on the case. He started getting the ball rolling to get help, get things prepared, make sure people are good to go. But anyways, this week, Ted Cruz, who also lost power, and his family had to camp out by the fireplace in Texas, decided he was going to escort his daughters from Texas down to Cancun and then return the following day. And people were raking him across the coals for doing such a thing. Now, we have a difference of opinion, myself and Mr. Yerkew. I say he should have stayed, and Walter says he should have gone. I would say my piece why he should have stayed, and Walter will say his piece why he's free to leave. Anyways, from my standpoint, it just did not look good. People in Texas, some people in Texas couldn't even leave the state because the airport was snowed in. And Ted Cruz is the senator from Texas. Yes, he got things rolling. Yes, he's in constant contact. So he said, you know what, let me go down, escort my daughters for some time off in Cancun while I fly back and take care of business. But, you know, most people don't have the option to fly out or the money to fly down, and people don't have passports. Also, there's a thing called COVID. I mean, I seriously doubt that Mexico is taking the same precautionary measures than the United States. But anyways, people are freezing their homes. The pipes are bursting. People are dying in Texas. And Ted Cruz decided, well, let me just go down there, take my daughters down there, and I'll fly right back. What say you? Was Ted Cruz right or wrong for flying down to Cancun and drop off his daughters for a little R&R?
Well, I don't think it's a question if he's right or wrong. You know, to me, my answer would be, and has been, you know, so what? You know, Ted Cruz is not the only senator in Texas. You know, you got, what's his name? Corinth, the other senator. And then you got Abbott as governor, and you got a powerful lieutenant governor. You know, one man does not, you know, cause such chaos on a storm that was predicted, warned to the Texas population that it was going to affect on what to do and what not to do. Okay. Now, I know a few people from Texas, and I've talked to a couple of them. And, yeah, they are having a tough time. And they're just pulling themselves up by the bootstraps and doing what they need to do. Now, you know, I understand power outages, you know, all over the area have created, you know, havoc. I read one story today where somebody passed away, unfortunately, absolutely unfortunate, passed away because there was no electric in his house and his oxygen pump couldn't work. Now, listen, let me tell you something. 99% of oxygen pumps have a battery. So I don't know if that story is true or not. All right. Number two, although rock salt and snow shovels, you know, aren't a big deal in Texas, it's not like they don't exist. Bursting pipes, hell, my pipes burst, you know, and I live in the southern part of Tennessee. I don't expect them to burst, but they have. This is not Ted Cruz's fault. This is not Abbott's fault. This is an act of God. When you start blaming an act of God on Ted Cruz, who chose to go to Mexico, I mean, hell, if I thought of it, I probably would have joined them, you know, during this cold snap here in southern Tennessee. So it's not a question of if he did right or wrong. You know, how many politicians, you know, fly in to a hurricane. You know, you got a state capital in Florida, and the hurricanes, you know, hit down south. They hit the east side of Florida, the west side of Florida, the south tip of Florida, they cross Florida. I mean, you really can't do anything until after the catastrophe, if that's a good word for it, is over. You know, you can't send in crews to fix electric that hasn't come down yet. You don't want to send your electric crews into an area where there's going to be 1 inch of freezing ice on everything for the next 15 hours because they can't do anything anyway. They can't fix a fallen electric line if it hadn't fallen yet. So, you know, I understand the issues and the problems that they're not used to weather like this, but it happened. Pull yourself up by the bootstraps and let's go forward. You know, the country never saw anything like Katrina, and it took a little bit to get past Katrina, but I think this thing in Texas, although it's theirs, is not the worst thing in the world. It might be a wake-up call. Now, I understand the grid, the electric grid in Texas is different from the rest of the country, where when the power goes out, they can't pick it up from another state or bordering state, and nobody has tried to fix that in the past 50 years. Even when Bush was in there, never fixed it. And he's from Texas, both of them. So, you know, it's something that has to be addressed now. Now that it happened, if it doesn't happen for 100 freaking years, it still has to be addressed now. So you learn from what happens. But to put it on Cruz, when he went down to Mexico, you know, so what? Well,
right. Well, nobody's putting it on Cruz. Just the fact that, like, hey, we're here suffering. You know, people are dying. People are frozen. People, you know, I can imagine people don't know how to get to drive in icy conditions or snowy conditions, go down to Walmart. And then you have Ted Cruz, oh, let me fly down to Cancun and fly right back. I'm sure, like, politically, you know, he did a major disservice. And whoever runs against him the next senatorial election will bring that up. Like, no tomorrow. You're going to see commercials of Ted Cruz with his mask and his railway luggage going in the airport and coming back. And then, you know, they're going to cut to, like, a frozen water pipes or, you know, this big wreck outside of Fort Worth, Texas. But, you know...
Well, you know, whether Ted Cruz was in Mexico or not, the pipes were going to burst. People, right. People were unfortunately going to be killed in this storm. It was going to happen one way or the other. So, you know, mentioning that Ted Cruz was in Mexico, sometimes you don't know what people expect somebody else to do. Do they want me to go out there and lay in the snow, you know, half naked with a blanket around me just to prove I'm with them? You know, I'm not going to do that. You know, when this is over, you can watch Ted Cruz demand the White House make this the area of need, a state of emergency. You know, and then but then again, you know, you got this guy in the White House now that said 3-4 months ago that if he was in the White House, we wouldn't have had any hurricanes. So why didn't he stop this ice storm from crossing Texas? You know, he's the one that said he can control the weather.
Right.
So blame Creepy Joe. I mean, you know, he did. And as a matter of fact, when that post that I made on Facebook, you know, the one and only Dan Bongino, you know, said that was a winning post. And, you know, maybe we'll get Bongino on the show or we'll go on his sometime. But, you know, to be recognized like that, and that's what he said, you know. He could stop storms, but he didn't do this one.
Well, probably because Texas is still a red state. But anyways, coming up, we'll be talking about cops getting themselves in a check bag because they don't know the First Amendment. Stay tuned, everybody. This is 7-5 Radio on Liberty News Radio Network.
Your daily Liberty News Wire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
President Biden approved a federal disaster declaration for Texas, getting some much-needed help to the state as it recovers from one of the worst winter storms to hit in years. Valdi Orr reports from the USA Radio News Texas Bureau.
President Biden on Saturday approved a major disaster declaration for Texas, which has suffered widespread power blackouts and water shortages after a deadly deep freeze. The declaration frees up federal funding across the state, including assistance for temporary housing and home repairs, also low-cost loans for uninsured property loss. Texas Governor Greg Abbott calls it a major first step as power is restored to most, but millions are still having to boil water to drink and busted pipes are commonplace. At least 30 people are confirmed dead, but authorities say it'll be weeks before the loss of lives is known. Some counts put the toll at closer to 70. From the USA Radio News Texas Bureau, I'm Val Dior.
This is USA Radio News.
For 3 years, you've heard me talk about MyPillow and the MyPillow Premium Pillow and how I get the best night's sleep of my life, how they don't go flat. They are washable and dryable and made in the USA. And it continues the MyPillow Premium Pillow special for Mike Lindell. A standard or queen size premium MyPillow, $29.98. You're saving $40. King size pillows only $5 more. 60-day money back guarantee, 10-year warranty, made in the USA. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square, use my promo code USA, or call 1-800-951-8175. And while you're at MyPillow.com, check out all the deep discounts on all the other MyPillow products. MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square, use my promo code USA, or call 1-800-951-8175.
A number of Capitol Police officers are under investigation for their actions during the riots at the Capitol last month. Lance Pry has more from the USA Radio News West Coast Bureau.
U.S. Capitol Police say the Office of Professional Responsibility is investigating the actions of 35 officers working the January 6th Capitol building incursion. The office also noted 6 officers have been suspended with pay. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki.
President Biden has made clear his views on the tragic events of January 6th. Including where responsibility for them lies. He backs efforts to shed additional light on the facts to ensure something like that never happens again.
Viral videos of some Capitol Police officers raise questions about their actions during the occupation. More than 250 people have been charged so far.
A police officer from North Cornwall Township, Pennsylvania, is the latest to be arrested for allegedly storming the Capitol. Joseph Fisher was arrested by the FBI Friday, charged with obstruction of law enforcement during civil disorder, violent entry, and disorderly conduct on Capitol grounds. Fisher is currently suspended without pay. This is USA Radio News.
you're still listening? Here's more 7-5 Radio.
And we are back. As you know, Walter and I are former members of New York's Finest. And one thing Walter brought to my attention is that these cops are getting themselves jammed up for being stupid. Well, take it away.
All right. You know, I want to start this off that we are pro-cop. Okay. We don't try to entice the public or anything to attack police or make fun of the police. I mean, you know, they have a job, they have a profession that they chose. This is what they chose. Now, if they're not good at it, then they don't need to be in the profession. So, you know, that's what I want to start off with. Also that, you know, we go through the police academy. And I could speak for going through the NYPD that you are, I wouldn't say brainwashed, but you are told that when you're out in the street and you're in uniform, you are in charge, okay? And then they give you books to read, which absolutely don't do any good out in the street. Experience is the best way to teach. But anyway, regardless, they teach you the law. They teach you laws. They teach you police science, which is how to deal with people, you know, the police way, social science, to teach you how to deal with situations in the public, and like I said, the law. Now, the First Amendment right is, everybody knows, it's reps of all things, you know, religion, assembly, press. Excuse me, I got something caught in my throat. Okay, I'm better now. You have these freedoms where, you know, you have the right to take pictures. I mean, every tourist in the world in the past 120 years since the camera has been invented have been taking pictures of everything that they can see. All right. Now, what's going on now these days, and pretty much more in depth since all the riots from last summer, we have these people that are on YouTube, and a lot of them have channels, and I'm not going to mention their name. And then there's individuals who just post videos. What they do is they walk around in a public place. Now, I'm going to give you, for instance, a public place, let's say outside of a jail, outside of your county jail. They will walk up and down the sidewalk with their camera pointed at the jail until somebody comes out and says they can't film. Okay? We don't want you to video the jail. Or why are you videoing the jail? Give me your ID. Okay. Now, when you're in a public place, this is the United States of America. You have freedom to walk as you wish and where you wish, as long as you're not impeding somebody else. Okay? And when you're taking pictures, you can say freedom of the press and things like that. And that's okay. But what's happening is a corrections officer comes out and says, you can't film there. You can't film that. And you can look through the fence and see the jail. You know, the little windows that the inmates look through, you know, you can't do that. You can't do that. And then the YouTuber, the outer camera says, well, you know, according to the First Amendment, this is, I can video or I can take pictures of anything I could see, even if it's private property. And, of course, then the cop gets baited. Well, what he does is calls the sheriff, the local police department, and they come. And the first thing out of their mouth is they want to see your ID. Now, unless you've committed a crime or suspected of going to commit a crime, you don't have to tell a cop anything. You really don't. So these YouTubers stand there and spew this out to the police. And then he doesn't know what to do, or she doesn't know what to do. I don't want to be, you know, I want to be gender impartial. They'll call for, you know, another radio call. And another guy will show up, and he won't know what to do. Before you know it, there's six or seven of them on scene. None of them know what to do because they've never faced it before. And there's always one in the crowd of the police that start running his mouth about, you have to give me your ID if I ask you, which is not true. I mean, you don't have to speak to the police. You don't have to do anything. So if that happens to you, I suggest, you know, you just, as far as being a police officer, you know, realize and understand that the next person that you call to the scene to help you probably isn't going to know any more than you do. And if you don't know how to handle the situation, unless somebody's bleeding or somebody's shot or somebody's holding the gun, just get in the car and walk away. You know, get in the car and drive off. Because it's the First Amendment. This is America. Now, let's say, now this is a big one on YouTube. Let's say this video guy goes into a post office and he's got the camera rolling. The first thing most people say is, I don't want to be on your video. I don't give you permission to have my image on your video. Well, guess what? You're in a public place and he's doing something that's guaranteed to him by the Constitution of the United States. So it's his rights that you're trying to violate. So the best thing you can do is keep your mouth shut, go about your business and get out of there instead of getting into a toe-to-toe with this guy who's going to continue to film. So now he's going to either call you Karen or Kevin. I think is Kevin the term for, you know, guy that won't ever shut up? I don't know. Maybe I just invented that.
I call the dude Karen, too.
Okay. Well, maybe I just invented it for the guys to be Kevin. And if you're a tranny, that's for another show. I don't know what we'd call it. So anyway, you know, you become a Karen. And then the next thing you know, you got seven people in line yelling at this guy who is calm, cool, and collected that has the video camera. And guess who started the disturbance? Not the guy with the camera. It's the people that don't know the First Amendment. Okay? So what do? They call the police. And the police want the guy to step out. And the guy says, no, I'm not going to step out. I'm not doing nothing wrong. Well, let me see your ID. I'm not going to give you my ID. I'm not doing nothing wrong. Then before you know it, there's three cops on the scene. Then the postmaster shows up, you know. And then the guy from behind the counter comes around, the postal worker comes around. And they're all pointing at this guy that he's caused the disturbance, which he really didn't. You know, so out in public, if somebody is taking a picture, walk away. You know, go away. That's the best thing you can do. You really don't have a defense in this case that, oh, somebody's videoing me. I don't want them to video me, so I punch them out. Excuse me. No, you can't do that either. So it baits everybody except the people that are aware of what's going on out there with a guy with a camera, and they just ignore it because everywhere you go, people, there's a camera. There's a camera, and they're not asking you for permission. There's a camera in the post office. There's a camera in the grocery store. There's a camera in the jail when you walk in. There's a camera in the police department when you walk in. Any public building you walk in, there's a camera. They're not asking you permission. But the guy standing there with one, now you're going to get your stuff off. Guess what? You're going to look stupid, and guess what? You can be open. You open yourself up for a lawsuit for violating somebody's First Amendment right, period. You know, it's a civil matter, but he can make your life miserable, which is what they're trying to do to begin with, and haul your butt into court and sue you. Win, lose, or draw, it doesn't matter. He wins. He wins every time. And the police, listen, you know, walking up to somebody, even when I was a cop in East New York, you can't chase anybody off the corner unless they're loitering for the purpose of doing something illegal, you know, like selling drugs. Or prostitution, or, you know, something street, you know, some kind of minimal street crime. You know, if the guy walks around and he's taking pictures of private vehicles in a parking lot, guess what? It's a public place. You have clear windows. Anybody can film and take a picture of anything they can see. Even take pictures of the front of your house, as long as they don't come on your property. That's, you know, the thing. If it's private property and they walk into, let's say, a restaurant that's, you know, it's open to the public, but it's privately owned. It's not tax paid for or paid for by taxes. If they tell you to shut the camera off, you got to shut the camera off. Okay, if they tell the YouTuber to shut the camera off, because it's a private place open to the public. But you can walk into any tax-financed property and take pictures. you know, you're restricted from some places inside that public building paid for by the citizens of that particular city. There's restricted places where you can't go, but everything else is open. You know, the ladies and the gentlemen that work on the other side of the glass, you know, that are there to help you with your question, you can take pictures, and right away they stick papers up in front of their face, and then it starts. And then the guy's on for 30 minutes baiting people and driving them batty.
Right. And this lesson on how to save your ass and begin to sue was brought to you by Walter Yerkew. Coming up, we'll talk about Coca-Cola and Black History Month and whatever else we got in mind. Stay tuned, everybody.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
Have we realized the assault against our lives, our liberties, our faith? To defeat this assault, Christians and all people of goodwill should have strategies to prevail in our faith and principles, which are simple. No need for a complex formula. One goal, one aim. A strategy like the heroic Christians of the past. We win, they lose. Nothing less. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm by a friend of Medjugorje. The strategy of heaven revealed. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm. Available on Amazon.com or by calling Caritas in the U.S. at 205-672-2000.
This is 7-5 Radio with Walter Yuku. I mean, Walter Yurkow. I mean, Walter Kiwi. Here's Walton Scoop.
Thank you, Mr. Edward. Anyways, this is February. We are in Black History Month. Anyways, something that came across my eyes through our buddy Patrick Ryan. From the Information Liberation website, informationliberation.com, Coca-Cola allegedly tells employees to try to be less white. Supposedly, Coca-Cola had its employees go online to LinkedIn Learning to take a course from an author who wrote a book called The White Fragility. The author's name is Robin DiAngelo. And anyways, she has this quote on white fragility. I don't know what white fragility is. It's one of these made-up words.
So the course is there, but we don't. I really can't verify if it's from Coca-Cola or not. We'll talk about this next week. But anyways, on this course that you can pay for on LinkedIn, to be less white is to be less oppressive, less arrogant, less certain, less defensive, be less ignorant, be more humble, listen, believe, break with apathy, and break with white solidarity. And I'm going through this, and I'm like, what in the name of God is she talking about? But anyways, this Robin DiAngelo, she is a white lady. From the look of things, she does not look like somebody who would live in your inner city ghetto. But anyways, no word if it's been verified that Coca-Cola employees are taking such a class. Would not surprise me because Coca-Cola is located in Atlanta, Georgia, number one. Number two, all these companies are being woke, like the makers of Aunt Jemima. They changed the name of Aunt Jemima to their Pearl Milling Company. And also you had Goodyear Tires have the same type of course, and now people are not buying Goodyear Tires. Walt, were you happen to see this story?
Well, yeah, I did a little bit of it. And, I write stuff down on my Facebook page, you know, to remind me of what I thought about earlier in the day or after I read something like that. And this is what I posted earlier. And, you know, this is not to offend anybody, but I posted, I'm not getting the don't be so white movement. According to the Judge Lance Ito ruling for the O.J. Simpson trial, I believe the N-word is used much less by non-blacks, you know, which is a good thing, right? You know, okay, it's a good thing. So as white people try to not be so white, can they at least blend in by using N-word slang terms such as nigga, asking for a white queen, you know? So if they don't want us to be so white, does that mean that we can blend into the black community even more? You know, so, you know, it depends which way, you know, you look at it. They want you to look at it the political way. And I think I'm trying to look at it in a more realistic way. And as far as the Black History Month goes, you know, Black History Month was started, you know, many, many years ago. And it's traditionally to celebrate black historical contributions to our American culture, you know, and thinking that I call it BHM, which is also the abbreviation for Birmingham, Alabama, BHM, Black History Month. You know, it should be more modern black issues than what the past. We know about the past. You know, we know about the conflicts. You know, it was a black man that invented the telephone, not Alexander Graham Bell, you know, that kind of thing. So, you know, it should be more about what can the black communities do within black communities to stop the black-on-black murders and killings. And being that there's no police history month, you know, there's no way that the cops can talk about it. But, you know, let's get the black neighborhoods to gear awareness into the neighborhoods that foster black-on-black murder. You know, I'm not trying to be racial there, but it is Black History Month. So, you know, maybe there's no history if there's no future in black history. So I just wanted to say that out loud about my rendition of what Black History Month should be.
You know, you're absolutely right, Walter, but anyways, it's the same old thing we've been hearing for, God, 50 years now about black history. You know, Martin Luther King did this. This guy invented the, you know, George Washington Carver did a whole bunch of stuff with peanut butter. Barack Obama now. But you know what you never heard? I talked about this a couple weeks ago. You never heard about the accomplishments of Jimi Hendrix. I mean, Jimi Hendrix more or less took rock and roll, white rock and roll, which, you know, especially guitar heavy, from British white guys such as like Eric Clapton, Pete Townsend, and a whole bunch of other people, and just blew them out of the water. But you never hear about that because before Mr. Hendrix became the guitar idol he was, He served in the 101st Airborne Division for the U.S. Army. But you never hear, never heard about that because, I mean, it's not, they don't just like anybody for airborne. I mean, he could have been a clerk, he could have been a cook, he could have been a glorified paper push or something like that. But no, he went to airborne. But also, Jimi Hendrix played the Star Spangled Banner in front of about between 250,000 to 500,000 filthy, dirty hippies, and is one of the best renditions ever. But it was funny that all them hippies showed more respect for the Star Spangled Banner than the black athletes that take a knee for no reason at all. But I mean, it's just another reason why dividing everybody. Now we got black. First it was Black History Month. Hispanic History Month and Asian Pacific Islander History Month and Women's History Month and this Native American History Month. I mean, it doesn't end. And pretty soon we're going to have Transgender History Month and this and another thing. But, we can't just be proud of all our accomplishments. But going back to this dummy's course online you can pay for. I mean, what if somebody put Coca-Cola said, be less black, you know, show up on time, do your work, don't complain about everything, stop blaming the white man for all your problems. All hell would break loose. But no, barely mentioned in mainstream media, but again, it hasn't been verified if it did happen through the Coca-Cola company. But like I said before, it did have, you know, you can take the course online. It is available online. It's out there. And again, of course, it's taught by a rich white lady. You know, I just love other white people telling me how not to be racist for the people of the inner city. But anyways, Walt, while we got a couple minutes left, you have anything you want to talk about Black History Month or anything else on your mind? It's been a while.
It's the thing that you know, this mask thing. You know, since I haven't been on the air the past couple of weeks, you know, now it's two masks and three masks. You know, they might want you to wear a mask on your ass. But I want to read this to our fans out there. It won't take but a minute or two. Okay.
Go right
ahead. Follow me as follows. You're told you must wear a mask or two to avoid COVID-19. Or get arrested or cited or even ridiculed if you do or don't wear a mask. All of a sudden, healthy people are being told they might die if they don't, or they're putting others at risk if they don't. How freaking ever. No one says a diabetic or an overweight person must eat healthy to avoid death. That's optional. No one says a smoker must stop smoking. That's optional. If I told a fat person they must lose weight or ask why they are in the candy or cookies aisle, I'm labeled as insensitive and uncaring. If they tell me to wear a mask or two, I'm still the insensitive, uncaring one. Now, especially government dollars recipients that have manageable conditions but do not adhere to a specific diet or follow a doctor's order to get healthier to negate the Medicare and Medicaid money that I pay for. This is the time to stop the free ride of people that are on government assistance and do not follow a doctor's order, like the mask or two that is becoming the norm and mandatory to walk into a public place. Legislate mandatory for government recipients to follow a doctor's order or receive no further treatment, period. Also, mandatory drug tests for all government recipients, and that includes food stamps. As a lifelong member of the American workforce must receive a vaccine or two for a flu bug, an overweight person can lose weight to improve their health as well. A smoker can stop smoking to improve their health. Now, I'm not picking on these people. I'm simply using them as an example. Heart disease is another that can be averted with better living. Proof to our new world government, and that's what it is, a new world government, that we do not need mandates on one health issue. We should have it on all mandatory or none. And that's my Andy Rooney for the week.
Right. Anyways, well, again, brilliant. Of course, we got another show in the can. But for Walter Yerkew, this is Peter Scoop Stays
reminding you, you can make a difference. Go out and make it. Be safe, everybody. See you next week.
Edwards for 7-5 Radio. For those who work the streets and the jails, thanks for keeping us safe. So long, everybody.